Welcome to Dying Breed Discussions. It's Lewis Anderson back once again. Couldn't find anyone to do a podcast with me tonight, so I'm just going to do a solo run while I play Warzone. So, let's see how this goes. There's so much I could talk about, and I feel like I'll definitely get there once I get the ball rolling. But at the same time, It's a whole lot different when you have someone else like to vibe off of. And I think people don't appreciate other people's conversations or opinions enough, for sure. Because we don't even realize how much either people's opinions that agree with you or disagree with you actually shape the way you are and the way you think. And we could all take something from that, for sure. I really think that we don't spend enough time listening to people we don't agree with. I don't feel like, as a society, it's like promoted to have cordial conversations with someone of a complete opposite view. And it's just time that we as people take the opportunity while we have some downtime or while things aren't making sense. And when the world's in a shitty situation, to band together and come up with ways to listen and promote like unity in ways that we haven't before. I think that's one of the most important things I can say. Just when you look at the state of the world right now, it should baffle you. If you're able to accept the information that's being put out, if you have the time to read articles, to get on Twitter and follow some hashtags, to decide for yourself rather than letting people's opinions affect you, to find your voice, like, I feel like that is such a big thing right now. And we're not capitalizing on it as a people. Like the explosion in Beirut, right? I mean, we all hear about it. We all say, oh, pray for Beirut and bless those people and stuff like that. But like, we don't even realize that the Lebanese government has been fucking their own people over for a countless amount of years. And those people will actually stand up and protest and riot together for the same cause. And that's just so weird when you think about it compared to America. Like, everything here is binary. And to me, it's just super unbecoming. Like, if every time someone has an opinion in America, no matter what, you can say the sky is blue, and you'll have someone saying, well, the sky doesn't exist. Like, we're on the flat earth, and or in a dome. Like, that's not even really the sky. And it's like, does that even fucking matter? Like, when you look at it objectively, it's fucking blue most of the time. And I just feel like we've been promoted opposition so much. Like, we've been taught that disagreeing and arguing and having turbulence is normal about everything. And it's just, it's truly not. It's truly not normal for every day, for every conversation you have, to have someone be so like rude and try to find ways to make you upset. Like, it just doesn't seem natural to me anyway. Like, I get there are some subjects that are hard to talk about. There's a lot of subjects that people are very opinionated in. And the thing that I always revert to is, I don't get mad at the person. I don't attack the person. I attack the idea or the process of thought. And what we have to learn as people is not to be so attached to our ideas. do not form your sense of self, your self-worth, or your dignity based around ideas, because information changes. Every day, if you're a healthy human being that's concerned about their mental diet, you will change your opinion. I can't get people that are willing to die on hills that are truly, they're dust piles. There's no substance there. There's no true meaning behind a lot of the things people argue about. And I think that bothers me. You know, like, Save the Children's big right now. That's something I believe people should be fighting about. Equality in America and being conscious of how your words and actions affect other people. That's a hill to die on. But making someone always the enemy who's just like you with a different opinion of what you're saying, just, it seems like a lackluster use of time. I just feel like it takes a shorter amount of time to disagree and come to an understanding than it does to have a polarized argument. And to me, that's just something that doesn't fly with me. Like, if you're not going to be smart, you could at least be efficient. And I really hope that resonates. We live in trying times. I mean, there's a lot of people who like to shit on millennials and young people, talking about how we're lazy and we're not driven and we don't have the same values and traditions and we don't take work seriously and we're too emotional and all that other shit that is spewed by people who got taken advantage of, fell into the rat race, and I feel like they're bitter that we didn't. I mean, I was in corporate America, and I saw how it was frowned upon to take vacation. It was frowned upon to use PTO. You had to be dedicated to the company. They wanted you there all the time. They paid you salary so that they could work you whatever hours they wanted. And it was just bad. Like, I remember when I first hit that 50 grand a year mark, I thought I was doing something. And then I realized, like, when I calculated it hourly, I was making like $8 an hour. Because, yeah, sure, I had some freedom and some leisure, and I didn't have to do a lot of the everyday grunt work. But managing people is hard. Hiring people, firing people, training people, all that kind of stuff is, especially when they're your senior, it's a lot mentally. And I feel like corporations and businesses, especially big business, tries to make you feel important, feel like you're part of the team. But if you drop dead, they have a replacement waiting for you. Like, they don't wait to fill a seat. They don't care about they care about your work when it's making them money. That's one thing I learned in the big meetings and when we were creating sales, which don't exist. It was all about the bottom line. The companies that we embrace with our hard-earned money don't give a shit about anything but profit margins and quarterly reports. Whether they're publicly traded, privately owned, like you have to understand that people go into business to make money. Now, there are good business people. There's people who focus on customer service as the number one service that they offer. It doesn't matter what you do, whether you detail cars or you make food or you're selling bath bombs. You can be one of those two people. You can be customer service driven and employee happiness driven, or you can be a money making asshole. And it's really up to you. Some people will still use you depending on your customer base, and some just won't. And when you get too big and too popular, then sometimes that leaves out the little guy. You stop thinking about the people who supported you when you were first starting. And it's just, it's sad. It's sad what the motivation of money will do. And I guess that's what my next point really is like, what makes you want to get up in the morning? For me, it used to be the money, the clothes, the cars, the girls, the drinks, the trips. Like, all I cared about was making money, people relying on me, borrowing money, sending money, like buying stuff for people. And I just realized how shitty it was. It did nothing for me whatsoever. It felt good to be in a position to help. And when people actually really needed and appreciated it, it felt amazing. But then I turned into an ATM. People didn't see me so much as a person. They saw me as a tool, something to use. And there was people in my life that I didn't almost appreciate enough for being good people and just liking me for me, because my energy was so directed towards leeches. And that's a realization that I'm coming to later in life, but I figured it out. Because when shit hit the fan for me, there was no one there. And I'm not even going to dive into that, because that's probably content for another day. But one day, I hope that everyone wakes up and just ask themselves, what the fuck am I doing? Did I go to school for me, or because my parents and society told me to? Are the ideas that I have my own? Do I like this kind of food or this kind of guy or this kind of girl because I like it, or because society molded me through media, TV, radio, music? Like, how did thick women become popular? Y'all used to make fun of thick women. You called men chubby chasers, that everyone is for the same women that everyone's going after now. But now it's popular, it's in demand. So everyone just hops on the train and it's okay. And I just don't see that. Like, cars, certain kind of cars. Everyone wants a foreign. Everyone wants a European car. Like, where the fuck did that come from? European cars have been dominating certain parts of the automotive world forever, since the inception of cars. The first vehicle, the first production vehicle ever made, automobile, was a Mercedes-Benz in 1888. Yet, Ford gets all the credit for it. And it's just like, I've never understood trends. I've never been one to follow trends. I've never been one to go with the masses. I evaluated things for myself and then decided whether it was for me or not. And I feel like that kind of discipline has earned me a different place in my life. And it shows through my actions and my accolades and accomplishments. I mean, if you are one to make decisions or change your way of being because of the thoughts of other people, I highly suggest you grow some balls and learn to say fuck people. You gotta tell them to go fuck themselves because they're holding you back. I've had good friends that were a part of my life for a long time, and they ended up being terrible for me. And it was out of jealousy. It was out of envy. Like, I was doing things they weren't doing, so they would shit on my ideas and the way I did things because they didn't want me to accomplish it, or they wanted to squeeze in enough room for them to do it as well. And it's a shame. And it's crazy to look back at how many people smiled in my face and talked good in front of me, but then would just go behind my back and change the entire vibe. And I was clueless to it. I didn't have people around me that were honest and would keep things real with me. They decided that being two-faced and playing both sides was better for them in the long run, and maybe it was. But I just wasn't emotionally intelligent enough to tell the difference. And that's where, you know, working on myself and understanding myself really played a role in that. So I just encourage everyone to take a good look about the people about them and decide whether they need to be in your life or not. You know, it doesn't matter who it is, family, friends, baby mama, baby daddy, aunts, uncles, mentors, whatever. If people aren't serving you in a positive manner, you need to get rid of them. They're dead weight. They will not send down the elevator once they catch a ride. Because they're not designed the way. People aren't built like that. You have to, from the jump, establish boundaries with people. Ask questions that may seem uncomfortable or seem personal, even if it offends them. I do it all the time. Like, when I first meet people, I want to know the shit, like, that matters. Like, what, who made you who you are? What made you who you are? Like, how are you as a kid? What do you like to do in your spare time? You know, what kind of music do you listen to? What kind of TV do you watch? Like, what's your typical day like? You know, like, how's your relationship with your family? All that kind of shit doesn't have to be just for dating. You know, like, you should be interviewing the people in your life because they are holding a position. I mean, it's a job. Being in someone's life is a job. There's going to be consequence to it. We're too old to have people in our lives for fun. You can have fun with the serious people in your life, because otherwise we're just using each other for entertainment. You know, like, why? It's okay to have acquaintances, people you say hi to that have some kind of common interest that you're not super close with. Like, I'm not saying everyone in your life has to be your best friend. What I am saying is we have a finite amount of time every single day. We have 16 hours usually that we're awake. How you spend those 16 hours will determine the outcome of your life, your productivity, and your happiness. Too many people waste time and energy and then have to ask themselves, what the fuck is going on, or why do I feel the way I do? And it's because you're fucking wasting your time. I feel like there's too much pressure on people to be in relationships. There's too much pressure for people to have things that they don't need or want, honestly. I feel like belonging to like a club or a tribe is ingrained in people so far that it blinds us from seeing the truth. And that's just like, people are lonely and damaged, and people want to feel accepted by things they don't even understand truly. Like, that's politics 101. How is it that we have, right off the top of my head, 10 to 15 different fast food restaurants, that people like really know, like mainstream fast food restaurants. We have, I don't know, 50 different makes of cars, then hundreds of models of cars. We have how many brands of towels and toilet paper? But we have two parties to determine the fate of the United States of America? Think about that. You have more choices for the type of mayo you put on your shit sandwich than you do for who runs the entire country of 330 million people. You have more options for condoms than you have for political parties. And we're okay with it. We accept it. We, as a group, huddle around it. And we hate each other because of it. There's more religions than there are political parties. That should be an issue for people. I shouldn't be the only one talking about it. And another thing is, what's up with not having term limits? How do we accept that there's corruption and money going through politics, staining it? We openly say there's corruption. We openly know they do fucked up things for money. They accept bribes. They participate in the lobbying system. We accept so much from the people we pay out of our pockets to keep the country going. And it's just hard for me to understand as Americans how we allow that to happen. Now, there is adversity getting to that place and participating in politics. The problem is they've made it so you have to have money to do it. They've made it so you have to have to go to a good college to do it. And then Trump comes in as a reality TV star and shits on the whole system. And it doesn't wake up enough people to the fact that the qualifications for the most powerful man in the world were just obliterated. Why isn't there a woman president? Why is that still even a discussion if a woman is capable? Why do we ask that question? Why are we shying away from an issue of gender when we have a reality TV star as the president of the United States? Some say he's a great businessman. Some say he's a questionable businessman. I'm not here to argue about the validity of Donald Trump. I'm here to argue about the validity of the selection process and why it works for some and not for others. Because that's honestly the only question that matters. I can't see myself having to explain to future generations that I just stood by and watched things happen I knew were wrong and didn't try to spread the information or take action myself to do it. Now, I have myself taken actions and spoke up against governments and businesses, and it didn't work out well. But I still took that shot. I still did. No matter the consequences of what happens, we should be fighting for what we truly believe is right. And we don't. We sacrifice our dignity and our voices for comfort. Oh, I don't want anyone to think that way of me. I don't want to look like a conspiracy theorist or a crazy person. Well, what's going to happen? What are you going to look like? How are you going to feel When you realize that your silence became their consent. I mean, do we all agree on how COVID-19's been handled in the United States or the world? But we've almost been left powerless. Did we agree for Congress to take that break when they should be deciding on an economic relief bill? Or did they decide it? Did we decide on Congress and politicians giving themselves raises every year? While there's not one place in America you can afford a studio or a one-bedroom apartment by yourself on minimum wage? When we had waitresses and part-time workers put themselves through college in the 50s, 60s, and 70s? One person could have worked at an auto store in those times and raise a family. I know people who did it. Parts guys. You know, little restaurant managers, bartenders made decent livings back in the day. But the economy wasn't so fucked. And I don't think people understand how fucked we are because they're not willing to learn about the economy. It's not hard, people. You can go on Crash Course on YouTube and just play the videos in successive order. And you can learn about the economy of the United States and the economy of the world and how it works. You can learn about the stock market online. You can learn about pretty much anything useful you want to if you want to. Yet you guys spend your time on TikTok, on Facebook, and on Instagram, staying up with the latest celebrities and the latest fads, the latest trends, and the echo chamber of shit to piss you off. The media is designed to capture your attention and hold it for profit. Somewhere along the lines, that same media figured out that negative things hold the attention longer than positive things. How often do you watch a news clip or read an article that's positive? I mean, take all the time you need to really think about that. The percentage that the media expresses positive energy, positive things to you is at a minimum because it doesn't get clicks. They can't get ad revenue from that. And I feel like that's a huge part of the economy that people don't even mention. They mention it all the time, but they don't take time to really think about it or explain it. Ads are the hugest bit of our economy. Everything is, that's how you get paid from everything now, is advertising, marketing. And the point to advertise or market something is to sell you something. So we are spending money we don't have on things we don't need for people we don't even like. Or they don't like you. And that's one thing that I can say about myself. A lot of the things I've ever owned or bought were for my own enjoyment. Most people thought the shit I bought or the style that I liked was trash. And I was completely okay for that. Because it wasn't for them. When I was driving BMWs, a lot of people talk shit about BMWs. I love the way BMWs drive. I feel like it's the best driving experience for the money. I don't care what you guys think it looks like or the status symbol that it had or nothing like that. It was never about appearances. It was just about my joy. And I feel like we would be better off as people if we spent more time caring about what makes us happy than what makes us popular. It's as simple as that. One day, people will wake up, and it's going to be a rude awakening. It's going to hurt. It's not going to feel good to learn truths that you were taught. Learn the truths about things you were taught. It's going to be uncomfortable. You're not going to enjoy it whatsoever. You're going to have to question everything that you've ever learned or talked about. You're going to question your own existence, most likely. Because you're thinking, well, if I knew this my entire life and it wasn't that, what else is a lie? But that's how conspiracy theorists get lost. But at the same time, the term conspiracy theorist was created by the CIA to discredit anyone who questioned, I believe it was the Kennedy assassination. That is the origin of the term conspiracy theorist. So you're telling me everyone who uses that term in a negative manner takes their advice from the CIA. The same people who drugged innocent, unknowing participants with LSD just to see what it does. The same people who have been tasked to collapse nations. The same people who their origin was Operation Paperclip. The CIA was created by Nazis, legitimately Nazis. When World War II ended and all those soldiers were captured, Russia and the United States split them among themselves, gave them new identities and money and a place to stay to start over new in America. In exchange for that new life we gave them, they would work for the U.S. government. Now let that simmer. The people who we fought a war against and lost many lives over, the people who are responsible for the genocide, the extinction of a particular race or type of people, were given international protection by the exact same government who just spent many of lives and many a tax dollars fighting them. It's a shame. Those people should have been executed like they executed the Jewish in mass graves. Yet, they got a free ride to America because of their capabilities working against humanity. And America didn't want to lose that. America could not afford to allow that commodity to go to waste. Neither could Russia. And we accepted it. It's public information now. You can look it up. It has been determined that that is factually true. So the question that you have to ask yourself is, what lengths are you not willing to go for money? Where is the line? Where's your line? What will you not sell? What is not worth turning a profit for? Is it morality? Is it your family? Is it your time? Is it your sense of self? What are you not willing to sell? I really hope that we can move forward from the dangerous and divisive ways we are implementing before it destroys us. It will destroy us. There is no doubt in my mind. We are on thin ice. Time's ticking and things aren't getting better. We, as people, have the advantage. And I feel like people don't teach you that. I'm going to double back to the economy for a minute. When they shut down the country for COVID, everything collapsed because we weren't spending money. It wasn't because the billionaires were losing money. They gained money. It's because the general public, the taxpayers, were not fueling their economy. We weren't purchasing things. We weren't going out to eat. We weren't paying our mortgages or our credit card bills. We weren't engulfing ourselves in debt any longer. Our economy is a fiat currency. We were taken off the gold standard. Our money, our bills, are not backed by anything but our word and our ability to defend ourselves. The only thing that makes the American dollar worth anything is the fact that that oil is traded in the U.S. dollar. We made a deal back in the day that said, hey, we're no longer going to use gold to represent the value of our currency. We can't. So what we did was, we went to Middle Eastern countries, Saudi Arabia being the exact one, and we said, look, if you agree to only trade oil in the U.S. dollar, we will offer you protection indefinitely. We are responsible for accepting that, for putting the people in office that made that decision and thought it was a good one. That was Nixon, by the way. So I'm not trying to start attacking anyone's political party, but there is no good political party. Spent a good chunk of time saying that. They are all for themselves and their peers. You think we relate to those people? You think the people you go out and vote for, the people that you scream at each other for, give a flying fuck about you? I can tell you the answer is no. They care about people in their peer group and their economic level. If you make $250,000 or less a year, which is a lot of people, if you aren't a millionaire, if you aren't an executive, if you don't have power over other people that they can manipulate and use for themselves, politicians don't give a shit about you. And the ones who actually probably do get a shit about you, the ones that actually probably care about you, get ousted. Now, you can say what you want about Bernie Sanders. But my honest belief about Bernie Sanders is he cares about the people more than he cares about the party. He cares about people. In general. All people. More than he cares about himself. Now, I'm not saying that he hasn't made money from politics. I'm not saying he's the perfect representative of politics. What I am saying is, he's been fucked over twice by his own political party. to make room for other candidates. Twice. They can't control him. They don't want him. Trump is a riot. He can't be controlled. They don't want him. The corporations who actually own America don't want them. Tulsi Gabbard could not be controlled. They did not want her. Did you see how they did him? Everyone dropped out and endorsed Joe Biden, a man who is most likely clinically ill in the head. There is more proof to Joe Biden being senile. Then the average person should need to come to that conclusion. And yet, we will support that. I don't get it. I don't get it. I mean, even the Independent Party gets looked over. How? I'm not saying the independent candidate would be a great candidate. But I'm just saying we're not even exploring our options. We are stuck on our abusive ex, and we will not move on. America needs to take a break. We need to find themselves. We need to go do drugs. Travel. Fuck some randoms. Get some experience of what it feels like to be with other people, because this regular shit is not working for anyone. It's just crazy. And I feel what the problem I have, the biggest problem I have, is I feel like people know that. I feel like people will say, well, yeah, it is like this, but, or yeah, things are bad, but. It's like, why are we making excuses for them? Like, I can understand making an excuse for yourself. That's human nature. But people will lay down their lives and their livelihood to protect an idea that's not theirs, to try to earn the acceptance of a tribe that's not theirs. It's baffling. It really is baffling. It makes no sense. And I don't think it will. I've spent quite a bit of time trying to understand people. I've studied psychology, sociology, tons of different schools of thought. And yet the same answer keeps coming up. People suck. People are selfish. People are self-serving for the majority of it. It's a survival technique. It's a self-soothing technique. It's all the excuses that we give people for just being shitty people. Yet we discard the teachings of ancient writings, the Bible, and we allow religion to take the forefront of teaching morality. Look, I'm not trying to bash anyone's religion. I'm not a religious person. I'm a spiritual person. I don't believe in organized religion in the way it's formed. I don't believe that those people have your best interest in mind. I don't believe that we should embrace religious organizations who commit crimes and cover them up to save face for their religion. I don't think that's okay. I don't think that the Catholic Church should so easily move through life having the pedophile reputation that they do. I don't believe that an entity telling you that you can pay to send your sins away should have as much power as they do. back in the day. I don't. They probably still do it now. I mean, shit, I don't know. They tell you, oh, you're damned. You're going to hell. You're a terrible person. This, that, and the other thing. They break you down. Then they tell you, well, just be, worship this church. Worship God through us. And they get you hooked. They make you feel like you belong. They make you feel like you can be saved, that you are more than just a person. They give you those feelings. Not God, because you're not really reading the Bible. You're just going to services and listening. So you're not even really getting that connection that people who actually read script, whatever it is, choose your religion, who read the doctrine from themselves and determine it for themselves. You're getting a filtered view of spirituality and religion and God through man, who really, at the end of the day, just want your fucking money. It's sad. I don't get how people, the craziest thing to me is a lot of people who bash God or bash being spiritual or say God doesn't exist have never read the Bible for themselves. Or they have, and they allow the world's views, what they've been taught prior, to override the words they're reading. It's just like, how can a book be so relevant to today? People don't talk about a lot of the stories in the Bible that are off the mainstream narrative of God. Because in Genesis, okay, so I think that if it is inspired by God, which most people believe, and I believe too, I mean, a lot of things can be inspired by God. The Bible wasn't written by God. We can say that right now. There wasn't whatever you believe God to be sitting with a pen and paper, and he didn't deliver it via drone or USPS. Men wrote the Bible. That's a fact. What I can say is those men could have been guided by a higher power. It's possible. At this point, anything's possible. To say that that's not possible would be ignorant. So let's continue on. How could you, in the first chapter, or the first book of the Bible, not the first chapter, the first book, God says he regretted making man. He regretted making us. And why does no one ever tell you that? No one has ever mentioned that. I had to find that for myself. But people use the Bible and God for their own advantages. To scare you. To control you. Oh, if you do this, you're going to hell. You have sex before marriage, you're going to hell. Yet those same people have gay lovers. It's like you're preaching that gay people go to hell. And you've been caught having sex with dudes. How do you do that? Why do religious people have such a problem with gay people? Lying is just as much as a sin as having sex with the same sex. Stealing is the same sin as being a homosexual. But why is being gay the only one that's fought so hard? I don't get why people get to pick and choose the rules they follow. And if they have enough people behind them who pick and choose the same rules, then it's made normal. That's the problem I have. So what is normal? What's real? It's all determined by men, by people. People determine everything. And it's just, I mean, because there are some facts out there. There are things that are objectively true no matter who says it or who observes it. There are some things that just, they are what they are. But then there's a lot of things created in this world based off of opinions. Off of collective opinion. So that's something to think about. I don't know. I'm on my third match of Plunder. And I've been running around with the TV on silent so I could record this. I've been tearing shit up. I'm not gonna lie. I mean, I had fun. I need to get that off my chest. I didn't want to go into any topic too specifically, though, because I really want to save it for when I have guests. So this was the throwaways. These were some of the throwaway topics. I mean, I can expand on them later on. I really think I want to get into the economy. I really want Severina to stop fucking around so we can talk politics. Because we don't agree on a lot with politics. And I feel like the best way I can show the world and the people that I'm trying to reach about being able to agree with other people and being able to exist with other people is just to do it live on TV. Or, I mean, on a podcast. Eventually, I think I will add video onto the podcast, though. Probably just be me sitting in my room, or I might set it up outside. Maybe do it through Zoom or something like that. I think the visuals help people pay attention and help people like really grasp the context, getting facial cues and stuff like that. So I'm looking to add that in. I'm looking really just to kind of get into a rhythm with podcasts. I'm going to try to at least do like one solo a day, and even if it's only like 15 minutes, and kind of just like break down maybe something I saw that day, or, you know, something that crossed my mind. But for now, I think I'm going to leave you guys with this last thought of the evening. I want you guys to take the time and look at yourself. I want you to look at where you're at in life, what you're doing, who your friends are, what your goals are, your family. I want you guys just to evaluate if the things in your life are happy, are helping you become happy and full. Or are they restricting you from the things that you think you want to do? That little voice inside your head says, man, I want to go to Hawaii. Or I want to skydive. Or I want to become an astronaut or a veterinarian. Or I want to buy a new car. I want to have a kid. I want to be in a happy relationship. I want this. I want that. What in your life is stopping you from achieving that? Is it the opinions of others saying, oh, you're not ready to be a mom. Oh, you need more money before you do this. Oh, you should probably focus on this and not that. Is it yourself telling you you can't have something or you're not good enough for something? Have you experienced some kind of trauma in your life with other people that make you feel like you're not good enough? Because at the end of the day, Jeff Bezos puts on his pants one leg at a time. Elon Musk, who is one of the most impressive human beings ever to live, started out writing code for video games. He wasn't, money doesn't, I want you to start distancing money from the value of yourself. I want you to stop equating your worth with monetary value. And I want you to start thinking for yourself. I want you, besides listening to me telling you to think for yourself, I want you to stop listening to people about yourself. Who is telling you no? you can't. You never could. You're not good enough. Find those people and get the fuck rid of them ASAP. Throw them away. Get a new one. There's 8 billion people on Earth. Someone's going to like you. I promise. If you're in a relationship that isn't the way you want it to be, stop trying to fix those fucking people and leave them. Leave them. They don't love you. No one who loves you truly loves you in the sense of the word, in the way it was designed. Isn't going to change behavior or listen to or make you feel the way you need to feel specifically to be loved if they love you. They might not know your love language, though. You might not be vocal enough. But if you're begging and pleading with someone to do normal things, there is someone out there who will gladly do them like it's nothing. Do not hinder yourself. I want everyone to take a good hard look at everything in their life and start a fucking garage sale, a mental garage sale. Or dump that shit. Set it on fire mentally. If something isn't serving you, if something's holding you back, if you have a bad memory or some pain someone brought you, put that shit in a mental fire pit, grab some gasoline, pour it on there. Leave a trail of gasoline so you don't light yourself on fire, though. That's one thing you guys gotta learn how to do, is arson. I want you to light that shit on fire safely and get rid of it. You don't need it. And one day this will make sense. If it doesn't, if everything I said doesn't resonate now, if you don't believe a word I've fucking said, believe this. One day, you're going to look back on this podcast. When you finally leave that person, when you finally leave that shitty job, when you finally have that kid, when you finally buy that car, when you finally tell your mom or your dad to fuck off because they're not your boss, they can't keep controlling your life. When you tell that boss to suck your dick, because they aren't controlling you anymore. They're not calling you in on your days off and treating you like shit. When you drop that shitty fucking friend who always has something negative to say about something you're excited about, you're going to play this podcast and you're going to know that I had your best interest at heart. And with that, I think it's time to say goodnight. I hope you guys all sleep well. Hope you guys all get what you deserve. Take care. Until next time.